Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, Jesus turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God thinks, but as human beings do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of the most dramatic scenes of the Gospel. It's a tipping point. Jesus, after all his preparation, gets to the time in which he's going to ask them to make a choice, to define what's going on outside of them, and therefore what it means inside of them. Begins with his poll. What's everybody saying about me? When we ponder this, they're saying, "Jesus, you are among the greatest people who have ever lived. Some are saying that you're John the Baptist, raised from the dead, because you're doing today what everybody remembers he did. Still others, Elijah, the long-awaited one, or one of the other great prophets." In other words, among the greatest heroes of all time. You're already being put in the Hall of Fame, Jesus. But again, none of that was enough, because none of it was really true. Jesus was far more than this. It wasn't just that people looked at him and exalted him. He had come not to win people's approval or accolades. He had come as Savior. So he asked them the far deeper question. Easy to say what everybody else is saying. "You, who do you say that I am?" And only one of the 12 stepped up. Everybody else was more or less a follower. They were too afraid perhaps to be wrong, too afraid perhaps to be right, because they would know what that would mean. After all that preparation, has the time finally come, and are we with him? Could it possibly be true that the long-awaited Messiah not only is here, but he's called me, little old me, to be one of his friends? "Who do you say that I am?" Peter, as we know from St. Matthew's Gospel, filled with the Father's Spirit, who revealed it to him, cried out, "You are the Messiah. You are the Christ." It's an extraordinary thing. Jesus wanted them to acknowledge who he was. And then he did something strange. "Don't tell anybody about this, because they don't know how to understand the Messiah yet. And they're going to think that I'm just a political liberator, and I'm so much more than that." but he wanted their friendship to be based on the truth. We see what happened immediately after that. As soon as Jesus described what type of Messiah he would be, how he would enter into his kingdom, and what that would mean for them, Peter, who in Matthew's gospel just had had his name changed from Simon to Rock, had it changed again from Rock to the tempter, Satan. Peter rejected Christ's mission because of the way Jesus would accomplish it. He rejected it. God forbid that anything such like this should ever happen to you. He rebuked the Messiah. Just think about the arrogance in that, the stupidity in that, the foolishness. But he couldn't accept that this Messiah would not fit his categories of what the Messiah was. So he rebuked the Lord, and that's when the Lord said, very significantly, "Get behind me, Satan," because he was trying to lead Jesus rather than follow. "Get behind me." And then he diagnosed as the divine physician a real cancer. "You're not thinking as God does. You're thinking according to human categories. I need you to think with the real categories, not the human falsities." Jesus is constantly coming into our life. He's not just saying, "Who does everybody else say that I am? Who do the doctors of the church say that I am? Who do the evangelists say that I am? Whom do the popes say that I am? Whom does Mother Agnes? Whom does Cardinal Dolan? Whom do others, including the greatest of others, say that I am?" It's not enough, because Jesus wants to have that personal relationship with each of us. Yes, we grow in faith based on the faith of others. We catch it. But when push comes to shove, he wants that personal confession, because that opens wide the door for him to be able to come in and totally transform us. So when he asks each of us, "Whom do you say that I am?" And he wants us regularly to confess him. It's the long-desired one. He wants us regularly to confess him as the liberator from our sins. He wants us regularly to confess him as the good shepherd who calls us by name. He wants us regularly to confess him as the way, the truth, and the life, way to follow, the truth to know and denounce, the life to receive to overflowing. Wants us to know him as the resurrection and the life, to contact him in his risen life. Wants us to know him as the great I am before Abraham was. Wants us to confess him in these ways. That same type of holy confrontation, to give us a chance to say, "Am I thinking with human categories or divine? Am I thinking the right way?" He does in other circumstances too. It's important today as we do this votive mass in Thanksgiving for the gift of human life to ponder precisely what occurs in today's book, reading from the book of Genesis. As I'm sure you know from your photographic memorization of Evangelium Vitae, that this is the whole highlight of paragraph 39. Where it's taken straight from this reading from Genesis 9:5. "If anyone sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has man been made. I will demand an accounting for human life. From your own lifeblood I will demand an accounting. From every animal I will demand it. From one man in regard to his fellow man I will demand an accounting for human life." God wants us to see the real foundation. When another person comes before us, we should hear them saying implicitly, Whom do you say that I am? And God wants us to recognize that we see in this person not a mere mortal. We don't see this person just by the person's birth certificate and what the name was when the person was officially registered. We're called looking with the eyes of God to see God in His image, to see someone great, to see someone we're supposed to receive as we receive God, to see someone the only worthy response to whom is love. Whom do you say that I am? We need constantly to hear this question echoing with everyone who comes to see us, because if we did, and we have this fuller understanding, our entire life would change. Sisters, whom do you say that I am? A long-winded New Englander, perhaps. But no, I am in the image of God, who, for whatever His reason, has called me to be His priest. I hope you can see a little bit of His priesthood in me. If I make it a little bit more obscure, I'm actually doing you a favor, so that you can see Him more, so that you can struggle to see Him more. Whom do you say that I am? When you look in the mirror, hear that echo. Whom do you say that I am? Do you see God's own image in you, or do you just see the defects and the struggle and all the anxieties that come from the daily contradictions that we have to confront? When the phone rings, and you say, who is it? Do you hear on the other side someone saying quietly, whom do you say that I am? And that you receive that person as if it's the most long-awaited call of all time, as if your whole life exists in order to be able to meet that person in that form of encounter. When somebody opposes us, and we have to confront that reality, do we hear at the same time, beyond all the external appearances, beyond the frustrations, beyond sometimes the ugliness of behavior, do we hear, whom do you say that I am? And do we respond with the type of mercy? Do we respond with the type of pity that begins when someone is just not living up to the identity that the person carries? Whom do you say that I am? Today's reading from the book of Genesis, we see it's all supposed to start with human dignity. When God says, if anyone sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, He's not giving a punishment. He's stating a fact about the type of culture we create when we shed blood. We already know from what we heard earlier with Cain and Abel that even though Cain shed his brother's blood, God was not going to let his own blood be shed. He would put a special protective mark on him. But it is a consequence, something that Cain saw, that if he were a murderer and he was going to be a wanderer on the face of the earth, he would likewise eventually be struck down. Jesus Christ Himself would say in the Gospel that those who live by the sword die by the sword. Again, not as a punishment, but as a consequence of the culture that's been formed. And so we see this culture that permits the destruction of those made in God's image and likeness in the womb. A culture that turns a deaf ear not just to the cries, but also to the questions, whom do you say that I am, coming from every child, is eventually going to become coarse toward the poor, is eventually going to become utilitarian toward the ill, toward the handicapped, toward the dying. And that's where the culture of death comes from. Begins by not hearing that voice. Whom do you say that I am? So that we think that what we're dealing with are just some chemicals. We're just some type of vegetative or animal life. And not the image of God. Because we're looking not as God looks, but as human beings do. The turnaround is in hearing this question and responding the only way another human being deserves to be met, with the type of love with which God first meets us. It's important for us too, every once in a while when we come before the Lord in adoration, to ask Him with courage the same question. Whom do you, Jesus, say that I am? And to accept His answer. You are someone I love so much that I would die 1,000 Golgothas to save you again. As He gives us Himself today anew at this Mass, this is an even greater witness to our dignity. And let us let our answer to the question to the one we meet in the mirror take on more and more this echo that comes straight from the mind and the heart of God. Praise be Jesus Christ.
God forever.